This is not me, y'all. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man.
We broke.
We
broke.
We have a company that you can join for free. And kids in every neighborhood belong.
Things to do.
Stories.
Songs. Toys.
All sorts of things of interest. And fun for girls and boys.
Another episode. Do you know what? This is, I must say, Phil, this is one of your better ideas.
It is, isn't it?
Starting the podcast just with a little throwback, just to remind ourselves how old we are.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, man.
No, I think the key here is, it's all about brainwashing our listeners. We've got to reel them in with nostalgia, and then hopefully that'll dull the pain of our boring and mundane drivel.
I think ever since I gave you a taste of leadership, you've blossomed as a podcast host, and you've come up with some great ideas.
I mean, is that what a leader is? I mean, you empower.
Empower others to also lead.
Thank you, thank you, Dan. Thank you.
To co-lead.
Lead these nuts.
All right, it's another episode of Two Broke Twimbos. It's late again. We apologize. I would love to say that it was beyond our control.
Like, we tried everything. We really tried everything to get this podcast episode out, guys, and we failed.
I promise you, yesterday I was like, yo, Phil, we're recording. His response was, I don't know. I was like, you know what? You don't got to say nothing else, man. I understand.
Guys, it's been real.
Anyway, we're back. Fresh new episode. My name is Danny, that guy, aka Danias, aka the only guy, aka your girlfriend probably pities me, aka used to be Danny Moore, but now when you look inside my wallet, it's back to Dan Less.
Like those ad libs, I'm dropping off.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, that's what I am. Like
I don't want to have to edit this episode, man. Don't leave too many gaps, bro. You gotta time.
We gotta keep it tight. Let's go. Okay.
Once again, is here with the unfathomable, the now 31-year-oldable.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You did turn 31 just now, huh?
Damn. Getting old, dog.
Welcome to post 31. Yeah. Sorry. Interrupt.
Yeah, that's right. Phil trying to get Flint Floss, the big boss, baby.
AK Fidza P.
AK Sexington Lovu. Also known as DJ Mkarad. And of course, Filthy Phil at times. And this past week, I definitely was Filthy Phil. And of course, Shamari, the Tengero Dringi. First and foremost, shout out to all those people that sent me money for my birthday. You know, dude, no jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually received more money on my birthday than I have from paying clients in 2019.
Well, this is an interesting development. Wow. I can't believe you made me buy you fuel today. Wow.
Because you're using my card, then.
Yeah, but I mean, look.
That money came and went. Did you not see the fridge before and after my birthday? That went straight to groceries.
Anyway, so, that being the case, tomorrow happens to be my birthday, guys.
Yeah!
Anyway, on a more serious note, we got several things that we want to talk about.
Hot button issues, you know,
hot button issues. But before I go any further, as you know, Phil, as the well traveled man that I am, you know, satisfying this wanderlust that just courses through my traveler's veins. I was in South Africa last week.
Of course, yes. Wow, Dan, we did not know. It's not like you were posting photos like an embarrassing dweeb everywhere you went.
All right, I just posted two sets of photos, guys. So,
but
here's the thing.
I just found it hilarious. I was like, yo, Dan, you're so embarrassing.
Why am I embarrassing?
Dude, you're embarrassing.
That was not embarrassing.
You are embarrassing.
I will have you know.
You are embarrassing.
And many people are very, very envious of my trip to South Africa.
Because the bar's on the floor, Dan.
I want to give a shout out to Kim Jade. AKA Kimberly Robinson.
You know, the thing is, she's on our interview list.
Yeah, I know.
Why didn't you interview her?
I had no opportunity to interview anyone. I wanted to, and I kept on thinking like, yo, okay, let me break down what happened. Mm-hmm. So as you know, as the one is to one window was closing, I was like, this is my last opportunity to get a really cheap flight to SA. I need to buy some parts for the car. Plus, you know, I need to meet some people. Mm-hmm. So opt on a flight, tried to organize all my meetings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I hit up Kim. I was like, hey, cause she's working at MTV, right? I'm like, hey, I'd love to come through to MTV, meet some people that side. So her response was, ugh, you Zimbabweans on your short notice. Okay, fine. I'm shooting tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. Come through. I'm like, dope. I'll be there. Mm. By the way, I spent 4,000 Rand on Ubers this trip. It was partly my fault. Wait.
You're so annoying. You really annoy me.
Because
you annoy me so much.
I was staying in Centurion.
No, but you annoy me so much.
That was because it was free. Anyway, I'm going back to my story.
Wait, speaking of, do you know that that hotel that you were at is a political hotbed?
I discovered that when I was there. It was literally an ANC Congress while I was staying there. To make it worse. So the reason I was staying there was because Derek was there for work. So I was
Wait, is this not going to get him fired?
No. Through work, they were doing like a, mm-hmm. you know, those training, blah, blah, blah.
Things. Oh, of course, yes. So Blue Blast.
Coincidentally, at the same time, there was an ANC Congress.
And there always is an ANC Congress.
Coincidentally,
there.
At the same time, for some reason, the Russian military was staying there.
Makes sense.
So
your brethren. Did you say what's up? Did you say, yo, blood, dude, where?
I was getting back to the hotel late and leaving early anyway. But, so just a funny story. Derek tells me, like, you know, they had a work dinner planned. So, you know, they finished like their training day, whatever. Then they have to go back and change and go back to dinner. So he walks into the ANC dinner without realizing. Mm-hmm. And he sits down and he orders food and he starts eating. He's like, wait, I don't recognize anyone in here. why is everyone dressed like traditional guys?
Dude, they start singing Chinua.
Anyway, so going back to the MTV story. I know, I hit up MTV. I go to MTV. Kim is there. She lets me through. I mean, once you're in, you know, you're in, bro. She shot her show, Newsish. Mm-hmm. So I watched that. She introduced me to a couple of people.
Oh, she's doing Newsish now. She's doing Newsish. Who's she doing it with?
Andile.
No, Sandile.
Sandile. There we go. That's it.
Wow, Dad.
Sandile GQ. That dude. Really cool dude, actually. Like him.
Yeah, he's good. He's good people.
And then just as she came out, she was like, all right, cool. So that's pretty much it. I'm leaving now. What do you plan on doing? I'm like, I'll probably go head out for lunch. And just then, Noam Zamo walks in. Mm-hmm. He's like, actually, I'm staying here.
Doses.
So she's like, okay. And then she leaves and, you know, introduce myself to Noam Zamo.
So you passed up on a possible lunch at Hyde Park with
Kim. No, I was not going to have lunch. She was going for lunch. She was basically like, I'm leaving now.
So you were like that annoying dude that she was like, yo, I gotta go. So would you
exactly.
Do something.
Anyway, Noam Zamo walks in. Mm. Resplendent.
Beautiful woman, isn't she?
Phil, you know my enduring love for Boiti. Mm-hmm. Noam Zamo has reached that level now. Noam Zamo is at par with Boiti.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Finish your story and then I'm going to start dragging you, but carry on.
I was cool as a cucumber. I made up for the whole Boiti mess that happened earlier. I was cool. She walked in. I was like,
we saw the photos. Why do you look Chinese?
No, she was making me laugh. She's a really funny girl.
You know, guys, go to Dan's Instagram, Danny That Guy. So Dan is wearing this tight polo shirt, but Dan, he's getting a little older. His metabolism is slowed. So he's got these man boobs poking through his toes.
What Tom means to say is I've got a chest. These are pecs.
So all you see is Dan smizing so hard. He looks Asian. No exaggeration. With this man boobs poking out.
Do you have a picture with Noam Zamo?
Yes, I actually have a photo that I took of her that's on her page.
I didn't say, did you take a picture of her? I said, do you have a picture with her?
Once again, Dan, the thing with
me is, do you have a picture with her?
Hold on, Dan.
Do you have a picture with Noam Zamo?
Yes, I do.
Okay, where is it? Let's see.
When I meet celebs, I act like I've met them before. I don't act like a groupie. FYI, I don't take selfies. I just take photos of them.
She suggested the photo.
Mm.
Okay, that's not technically true. But no, like for real, I was so cool as she introduced herself to me. And I was like, listen, you know, you don't have to introduce yourself. I know who you are.
And she's like, I have no idea who the hell you are.
Of course. I mean, why would she? But she was very interested in
that would have been hilarious.
Tiny guys on Twitter. Oh my God.
Funny story, that was MT. So let me finish with Thumbs Up, right? So, she just walks into MTV, right? And I'm sitting there in that, you know, the holding area, that the area where the couches are. So I'm sitting there, she walks in, hi. I'm Danny, I'm Nom Zamo. Like, yeah, you don't have to introduce yourself. You know, she makes some very inspirational quote about Obama and Oprah and Beyonce and whatever. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Anyway, then just then, like, one of the MTV aides or producers or whatever walks in, like, with a script. And she's like, excuse me, to me, because I'm, like, talking to Nom Zamo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, excuse you. Anyway, so she gives her the script, and it's supposed to say, you know, thank you for nominating me to be, you know, Nickelodeon.
What? Kids are you choice, saying whatever. Those thank you speeches are not organic?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, then she keeps on saying 2019. So I'm like, damn, girl, who says 2019? Does Nom Zamo not just completely ignore this MTV aide? It's like, yeah, for real, though. Like, 2000, that's a weird way to say it, right? And it's led to a whole conversation about how to say 2019 or 2019. She's like, how do you say it? I was like, I say 2019. I was like, I say 2019. But that's kind of weird, right? But I've always been weird. I'm like, yeah, you are weird. It's like, ah, you're so funny. It was a great conversation.
Such a great copywriter, Dan.
I know.
You know, great feedback. Great feedback. I mean, these are key script details.
I actually helped out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I'm actually going to stick to saying 2019. That's what makes me weird and quirky. I'm like, you are weird and quirky, girl. Gee, since I met you, it'd be good to take a photo. She's like, yeah, let's take a photo. And she was, you know, it was a really good photo opportunity. Meantime, this MTV aide is just by the corner, just getting more and more antsy. Like, who is this guy? Who even brought him here?
But he's Danny, that guy.
Exactly. Just then MT walks in.
MT walked into MTV.
Exactly.
Deep.
So he walks in with his manager. What's his name?
Which one? Sandy.
I don't know, the bald dude. Bald, kind of skinny.
Yeah, Sandy, short guy.
Cool.
So the guy was at Shogo.
Yes.
Did I tell you the story about... Wait, did I say it on the podcast?
I think we've spoken about it on the podcast.
Have I?
When we reviewed Shoko. Did we not?
I don't remember, yeah. But anyway, Sandy's a shady dude. He's funny, though. He's
anyway, cool. so I didn't recognize him because he was wearing shades and a hat and what. So I was just like, some rapper. I don't know.
So, some rapper.
Plus, I mean, my entire attention was kind of taken by this goddess of a woman in front of me.
I know Nomzan was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
But empty. So... I greet everyone, but I just greeted everyone like perfunctory, like, hey, what up, what up, what up, what up. But I didn't really pay attention to who they were. Then MT comes to speak to me. He's like, yo, how's Zim? I'm like, what? What? Then his manager, said Andy.
Why do you keep throwing the S's on people's names? They are both called Sandile. Sandile.
So Sandile comes through and he's like, yo man, we need to come back to Zim. And that's when it hits me. I was like, oh snap, this is MT. So
you really have your finger on the pulse, Dan.
No, it's not my fault. He was wearing like shades that covered his face.
It's not like he never wears shades in music videos and stuff, right?
Anyway, and then so it was actually kind of low key embarrassing because I was like, "Oh snap! I interviewed you when you were in Zim, right?" And it's like, "Yeah." So everyone else was watching. Is like, "No, hang on a second. Who is this that MT recognizes him, but he doesn't recognize?" Anyway, it made me look good, but. The be all and end all of this story. Oh, by the way, like Kid X then walked in, but by then I was leaving. The be all and end all of this story is I was loitering at MTV. Yo, people keep hitting me up like, yo, big things, man. We saw you at MTV, man. Just doing your thing. I'm like, yeah, word.
Yeah, well, big things, making moves, man. Booked and busy.
Fam, I was loitering. I was supposed to have left. Kim had left. People kept coming to me to ask, like, yo, what are you doing here? Like, no, I'm visiting from Zim, actually. And yeah, I was with Kim. Like, Kim, didn't you shoot earlier? Yeah. So I was just waiting to get kicked out. But I left graciously before being kicked out. But I met some people. It was a good time.
Did you build? Did you connect?
Yeah. I got a chance to meet with, Yoel. Shout out to Yoel. Shout out to,
he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Shout out to Arno, musicinafrica.net. Met up with him as well. Shout out to, I wrote his name down.
Wow.
Dude at Trace Africa that I met. It's very important.
Wow.
He was cool, dude.
Someone is editing this part, isn't there?
What was his name? Ntokozo. Yeah, shout out to Ntokozo, my boy. That's my boy. Your boy from day one.
Your boy Tokizi.
Ntokozo from day one, son.
Yeah.
He was out of Trace Africa. He's like, yo, man, I've been seeing what's happening in Zim. I'm like, I got you, bro. So I'm the plug for Trace Africa now if you want your music to go. Funny enough. Oh, shout out to DJ Vigilante. VG out at MTV. So when I met him, he was like, oh, you come from Zim. Funny enough, I was just watching Amara Brown's video. Why didn't she submit it? I was like, I'm sure she has, hasn't she? It's like, nah, man, we don't have it on our playlist. She should totally submit this song, man. It's dope. I was like, all right, cool. I'll hit you up with some other songs that should be submitted. So, you know, Phil, if you want to do your dancehall track, I got the links, MTV Bass, Trace.
I've got all their details already done. Thank you, though.
Are you a successful musician?
No.
So clearly you're doing something wrong. Plus, do you have a photo with Nom Zamo? No. So, I mean, does MT recognize you when he sees you?
Yes, he does, actually.
Do you recognize him when you see him? Oh, yeah, I feel bad.
The bar is on the floor.
The bar is on the floor. I didn't recognize him. Only because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't trying to be a diva or anything.
So standard procedure with you.
I recognized him the moment we spoke. So I was like, oh snap, it's MT. And then obviously I was like,
is that the same excuse you use for those girls you keep bouncing?
You trip and leave the, anyway.
That's like three albums ago, Dan. What a new MT song.
But it's such a great song.
Okay.
I can't think of a new one. What has MT done recently? He just released one. Wait. He just released a video.
He just released an EP.
He released his EP, but he also released a video. I can't remember what it's called.
You really have your finger on the pulse. I'm inspired.
Hey, man, I stand anyway, in music.
Before you even, you rushed to brag about you loitering at MTV and you missed the Zimbabweans Doing It Big segment.
I'm the Zimbabwean Doing It Big, Phil. It's me. Zimbabweans Doing It Big is me. I was at MTV, yo.
The bar is right. On the floor.
All right. And our Zimbabweans Doing It Big segment this week. We have none other than, by the way, this was pointed out by Ranga Mberi on Twitter, our guest last week. Shout out to you, Ranga. Shout out to Muku for pointing out that, yo, this would be a good idea. King Kandoro. This would be a good idea for Zimbabweans Doing It Big.
Yes. I think what we need to do is we squash the beefs of podcasts and now we've come together to synergize and unionize as a podcast union. We are two podcasts strong fighting the man.
I ain't fighting no man with those guys.
I mean, once you get rid of Nick, we'll be a solid unit. We just gotta figure out a way to like, we gotta develop some structures to vote him out.
We gotta find a girl from Rwanda or something. I don't know, someone just...
No, I think it's Malawi.
I'm getting a different, like, I was trying to hide the lead.
Okay, just bleep it out. Bleep it out.
It's too late. I'm not editing this. Sorry. I apologize for inside jokes.
Dry snitch.
Long story short, there's an issue.
No, yeah, it's done.
I'm saying there's an issue with Nick. He gets it. No one else will get it. It's fine. Anyway, Zimbabwean's Doing It Big. A young lady by the name of Stephanie Travers. She's Zimbabwean, born and raised in Zimbabwe, studied out in the UK, I believe. She is the 2019 Petronas Trackside Fluid Engineer. Oh, shout out to you. She won the job out of 7,000 applicants. She's going to be working with
none other than
Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton. Mm-hmm. She's going to be the one who's, you know, doing the stuff by the side of the road. Bye-bye, you know. You know when you're kicking the tire to make sure that it's the car is strong.
Same solid. Okay.
The car is strong. You can go now on the track.
That's actually dope. And for those of you that know me, I'm a huge Lewis Hamilton fan, so I'm really proud. Speaking of Steph Travers, we got some weird emails this week. I think, you know, just jump to that.
By the way, our email is donate@twobroketwimbles.com. So, we haven't really done mailbag things, but I think this one was really interesting. So.
Yeah, there is a mail. Like, the weird thing is, like, some people will send relationship questions, and I don't think we're a relationship podcast.
We should just answer them. Let's do them. No, I don't think people are not looking to us for, they are looking to us for advice, Phil, because we're really paragons of paragons of society. Would you like to pick up what it means?
Yeah,
sure, no problem. This is also an academic education podcast.
Paragon.
Wow. Paragon, please define it for us, Phil.
Paragon, noun, a person or thing regarded as a perfect example of a particular quality. It would have taken a paragon of virtue not to feel viciously jealous.
Exactly. So we are paragons of love and relationships.
Speak on it, dog. Speak on it.
Yeah. So
as my love life falls apart, but yes.
let's add a mailbag section to whenever we don't have guests.
I'll need to look for them, but I do have some that were sent. I don't know if I saved them because some of them were on Instagram, but, I'll go through the mailbag. There are some that I saved for this week, but yeah, shout out to this lazy scammer.
Okay. Wait, just real quick. Just to finish on, Stephanie Travers, congratulations on your appointment working with, you know, Lewis Hamilton and, Mercedes AMG Patronus.
You are about to be stressed.
Yeah, that's true. But she cute too. I'm just saying, Phil, you know, if you're looking for
she's so sexist.
No.
Wait, this woman is an engineer.
Listen, let me finish my brilliant point before you attack me. I'm looking for someone who can look after me, Phil. And she's lucrative job.
She's got no time for you.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll hold the fort at home. It's cool. It's cool.
Guys, Mangujganomics has reduced us to gigolos. This is what we're doing right now.
So Stephanie, hit me up, girl. You need someone to rub your feet after a long day at the track. I got you.
Are we going to tag her?
Hell yeah.
Well, thanks to this scam, we've got an email address. Yo. So.
In our mailbag this week.
We get many a weird email. You know, most times it's just artists sending us their songs in a very lazy and disruptive fashion. And we just ignore them because we know it's trash. But a certain Mr. Bobo, I'm not going to say his first name to give him a shout out, sent us an email. The first email he sent us was the subject, begging broke Twizombos. I am unemployed. Forced pensioner, aged 39. How do you become a pensioner at 39, dog? How much of a pension can you accrue by 39?
Forced pensioner? Okay, wait. Let's not laugh at his misfortune.
Okay, maybe he was retrenched, but still. Okay, fine.
So whatever. I don't think he means he's a pensioner.
He says forced pensioner. Anyway, he's male, single, degree dropout. So he doesn't have a degree? He's
living the life.
So he said, and then he sends us his bank details. It's like EcoCash foreign currency wallet, USD 1000 in the next 10 hours, account cell phone number. And he gives us his number or in brackets, parentheses, because he's giving us options here.
Okay.
Or RTGS $3,000 via EcoCash to the same number. I mean.
So wait, let me understand. Is this email asking us for money?
I think it was a soft demand.
That we must send within the next 10 hours.
I think what he was trying to do was blackmail us, but he didn't think about the leverage. So he just did the second half. Like, this is what you send the money to, but he didn't motivate. You know, like
of Gotham.
In an exam, you go to motivate your answer.
I'm just imagining imagining Bane just coming onto TV screens.
People of Gotham. You will send $1 million to my bank account in the next 10 hours. And so I was
thank
like,
you.
I was like, wait, why?
You forgot the threat? I don't know.
It was, and the weird thing is, so homeboy sends this to us.
That was a pretty good Bane impression. I was quite impressed with myself.
No, like a 7. I'll give you a 7.
It was alright though. It wasn't bad. 7. I mean, I'm normally bad at impressions. Mm.
Then he sends another email to Stephanie Travers. And then after sending it to Stephanie Travers, he forwards it to us. So he didn't even bother to CC us in the email. We got the second hand version of the same email to Stephanie Travers. And I quote, I am reading news online that you have breakthrough at F1. So you can send me bucks as I want to leave Zimbabwe soonest as I am now. New line, unemployed. New line, degree dropout. New line, male, new line, single, new line, forced pensioner, age 39.
Why does he keep putting single in there?
I think he's really trying to get the boot up. And then he says, are you related to those who own something, something in a, I'm not going to mention the part of Zimbabwe, which Why? I visited because I feel like
this is private information.
It might be private. It also sounds like a veiled threat. It's kind of weird.
It's like, are you the one with children at number blah, yeah, blah, blah, blah?
It's so weird.
Send me money.
So are you the one who owned something, something in Marondera, something, something, which I visited many times while a school boarder at, we can put the school on blast at Chemanza High School Mission in Wedza. Chemanza High School, come claim your dude. And then once again, he's like, but this is what pissed me off. So he tried to blackmail us for 3,000. Steph got hit with 6,000.
So it's like, yo, send EcoCash foreign currency wallet USD 6,000.
No, no. If he sees my Instagram now with Noam Zama, it'll go up.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he thinks Steph is good for $6,000.
That's, I mean, it's chump change to her. Probably.
We don't know. I am now in my cheque and very poor. So send it in the next 10 hours. So all we need to do is just to find out, like, maybe just send a follow-up email, like, yo, dude, how are your finances doing? No, like,
you know what? He probably read one of them self-help books that explain that, you know, when you set a goal, you need to be a smart goal. You need to be able to create a very clear KPI, including a time. So I want $6,000.
It's all about smart goals, Dan.
Exactly.
Yo, and we're not joking. This is such a weird email.
Such a weird email, man. Anyway, well, there's another email which I think you can answer later.
Yeah.
We can just quickly take a look at some of the big news coming through in the entertainment industry.
Mm.
This week we received the nominees for 2019's national. See, I'm not saying it like Noam Zama now. It's like we're, you know,
in sync.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you are one.
Simpatico. Have you ever heard that phrase? Simpatico. You can Google it if you want. You're learning two words today, Phil.
You are twatico. That's what you are.
Just, Phil, I don't want to edit this. What time is this? Anyway. Oh, by the way, apologies for last week's episode.
I love it.
So I was supposed to edit it, but I saved the unedited version and uploaded it. Then I left the country and it was
The version you uploaded was edited. It just was quasi-edited.
No, it wasn't. It was full-on.
No,
I edited it first and then I was like, I'll add the
There was
beeps.
A word that was beeped, but it was like at the end and it wasn't even a... Like, it was hilarious. It was hilarious.
To be fair, I did all the editing on the plane, but whatever. So once
Catch
I landed.
Catch your flights, not feelings.
Yeah.
Mr. International.
Once I landed, I had a few megabytes left on my line from the last trip. Uploaded that.
You do know there's free Wi-Fi in the airport, right?
Oh, I didn't upload it at the airport. Are you crazy? I uploaded when I got to ANC headquarters, to St. George Hotel.
That is just snitching on himself. People are going to ask
anyway,
questions.
So I apologize for last week. I re-uploaded the edited version, but I think what would have propagated to y'all's podcast apps will have the dirty versions. You can thank Phil for that. But nominees for the 2019 National Arts Merit Awards, the NAMA Awards. NAMA have been possibly the biggest awards in Zim in terms of coverage. Everyone always talks about and always looks to NAMA because, you know, it's not associated with any particular media house. So all the media houses are interested in covering it. The only difficulty is sometimes it goes very obscure because it's awards for like every arts, shall we say genre? Every arts genre
exactly.
in the country.
It's very all encompassing.
Including sculpting, painting, street dancing, you know, that kind of stuff.
Street dancing.
Yeah, so I'm gonna mention some of the more prominent nominations, starting in the music category. Outstanding female musician, we got three. Tammy, Janet Manyoa, and Sandra Ndebele. Outstanding male musician.
Wait, can we just pause for a second? Sandra Ndebele, have you heard a new song?
No. And I work on radio.
She dropped like a Destruction Boys jack. It's bad.
There was a...
How many songs did she drop this year?
She dropped a Gom song.
That's the one.
About a year and a half ago. But that song is actually quite lit.
Then she dropped another Gom song.
And that one is featuring Heavy K, right?
No, this one is not. This one's all blow away, guys.
Oh. Anyway. So Tammy, Janet Manyoa, and Sandra Ndebele. I get the feeling Janet's going to win that one. She's super popular.
I mean, if the 2BT bump is anything to go by.
Oh, yeah. She was on 2BT, wasn't she? Maybe
and she called us two broke tumbles.
We must actually...
Campaign.
No, we must hit her up and say you're welcome for the nomination.
I mean, that's what we do. The two broke tumbles bump is real.
It's worth noting Amara's not on here.
But it was so many years ago, Dan. I mean, it wears off.
No, I mean genuinely, like, outside of the two broke tumbles influence. Okay, outside
Wait,
male
when
musician...
her album dropped... last year,
yeah.
That is odd.
And why are they only the previous year?
Why are there only three nominees? Interesting.
It looks like everything has three or four. Oh, by the way,
that's what I'm saying.
So
it's only four.
I think it's the same thing that you have to apply or submit. Or yeah, I think. But I also think that they hit you up like, please submit. So I don't know. Outstanding male musician, we've got Enzo Aishal, XQ, and Baba Harare.
Baba Harare is running away with this one.
I get the feeling it'll be XQ.
We don't trust him. Yeah.
Oh, he hasn't been on the thing. No, if he comes on the show on time.
There's still a fatwa. There's a fatwa against XQ.
Anyway, worth noting that Winky D and Ja Praise are not nominated for Outstanding Male Musician.
Why, Dan? Why?
Outstanding Song, we've got Sweetie by Ja Signal.
No.
Makwaza with Kalupete.
El.
We've got Enzo Aishal with Kanjiva. And Obed Chari with Mebo.
Mebo's winning it. Running away.
Outstanding album. We got Janet Manure with Grateful. Mm-hmm. Jace Marabini, which is very interesting that he's still considered for music right now. Cause I mean, he's old school. Into Jambila. Mm-hmm. XQ with Teo Teo and Alec Macheso with Zinoshrika Kure.
Mm-hmm.
An outstanding music video. Tinom Tenda Name by Janet Manure. Zamutsa na Ja Praiser. And Tekere, Tammy Moyle.
I think at this point we should also say, yo, Janet, can you chill on the YouTube ads?
What, do you get a lot of Janet ads?
She makes a whole music video, an ad. So like, I'll have music, I'll like have a YouTube playlist. I haven't gotten a
single, Phil, you know, maybe YouTube senses that you need, you know, need some gospel flavor in your life there, Phil. You know, just something to uplift you. YouTube knows a lot about us. Knows quite a bit about us, eh? Then there's, you know, nominations for stuff like Journalist. I just wanted to say it's worth noting that Plot Marco is nominated there. Outstanding radio journalist.
How is Plot Marco a music journalist who doesn't even live in the country? I'm not hating. I'm just, it's interesting. That's interesting.
You know, he's out here causing waves. you might get beaten up because of him. That's how much influence he has from the distance.
Dude, I will crush his skull. Not Plot, but the guy who has to beat him up. It'll not be fun.
Radio journalist, I want to give a big shout out to my Judah, Star FM. She is fine.
Why are you so sick? Why are you such a... why?
I'm appreciating. I'm not...
You're
I'm
so toxic. Toxic.
How is that toxic? Oh, so when the ladies are like, oh, wow, Idris Elba is fine. Is that toxic?
Of course not.
The toxicity comes...
Because Idris Elba, he's fine. I'll say he's fine. Have you seen this new video?
Exactly. So is it wrong to say
Boasty. Boasty.
Boasty. I came to rap it up, do my thing. Sabi put me on the gram and a remix thing. Full tight Wiley with the Pacino flow. Godfather part 2, call me De Niro. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. Disrespect, man, get a slap on the chin. Man, a king in a top bowl, Larry. Man, a big DJ, Ox, Megan and Harry. Boss, yeah, man, a boss, yeah. I make your gal melt like a toasty. I've been this way someday. And I write for myself, no ghosting.
Why doesn't Wiley pitch up for music videos? Like, every time Wiley's featured on a song, he doesn't pitch up for the music video. It's annoying.
That's his thing.
They had to come up with the whole concept of this kid
being Wiley.
Just because he was like, nah, I'm not coming.
So, wait. Shout out to my dude at Star FM. Shout out to Patience Musa and Chilla, ZFM. And outstanding online media. I just want to take a moment to speak here, you see.
How does Zol
get? So, Zol.
And Capital Terrestrial Radio Station? I'm so confused. How does this, what, how?
So Zol have created an online TV channel of sorts on their Facebook page. I mean,
it's once a week.
Sometimes it's twice a week. They've built such a big audience and, you know, at least once or twice a month, you know, I'm the one who's hosting that particular TV show. So I feel like this is really a nomination for me. You know what I mean? I've really pushed the Zol Connect, you know, online media. So shout out to me. And, one other shout out I wanted to make, that's in, two shout outs actually. One in, film and television, the movie Ghosts of Actions Past. It's a risque telling of a fictional coup in Zimbabwe.
Such a hard concept to really wrap my head around.
Yeah, it's very,
sci-fi, you know?
Yeah, it's too abstract. You can't really.
It's like Star Wars, galaxy far, far away.
But, I know a couple of people that acted in this, so I just want to give a specific shout out to that one. And the other shout out I want to give was, recently, a Zimbabwean doing it big, Donel Mangena, who's nominated as an artist in the diaspora.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, those are some of the big things. We're going to wait and see how Nama is. I think I may be involved in some way or another, but I'm not yet sure. In terms of, I think I either am presenting an award or interviewing someone or something. But I will confirm that as time goes on.
You have a firm grasp of your role in this whole.
I just don't like revealing things, Phil.
Keeping playing your cards close to your chest.
Playing my cards close to my chest.
Mm.
You have any interest in this year's Namas or meh?
Nah.
Listeners, do you have any interest in this year's Namas? By the way.
Actually, I do have a little interest.
Yeah.
I have interest in the selection criteria. The awards are not that entertaining.
That's true.
Like but we should probably try to get some tickets for listeners. Okay, we could probably do that. We could probably pull that off. Might be able to pull that off. We should be able to pull that off.
I believe the tickets are going to be going for like $250 each.
We can get some freebies. I'm sure we can.
All right, man. We'll see if we can do that. Anyway, I'd just like to know if you as a listener who's clearly got an interest in, you know, the movement of the arts in Zimbabwe. I mean, that's why you're listening to this podcast.
That's what you did, the movement.
So, yeah, do you have an interest in the Namas? If so, what are you particularly interested in? The one that's normally the big talking point every year is the People's Choice Award.
Mm-hmm.
You can basically, they have nominees on there, but even apart from the nominees, you can really vote for anyone that you consider an artist in Zim.
What if we create a Two Broke Twimbles campaign?
We could be actually, but you're not going to get Winky D numbers.
Well, Winky D doesn't have the link farm that I have access to in Bangladesh, does he?
Also, the voting criteria is a short code via text.
So,
maybe WhatsApp, but
so. Dude, I can spoof a Zimbabwe number.
Winky D made a million views in 2 weeks. That SA, as much as we talk about how much big it is, I can't think of many videos in SA that have reached a million in 2 weeks.
So what you're saying is we need to get Gemma Griffiths to become a co-host.
On Two Broke Twimbles. And we've made it fast.
Imagine.
Anyway, actually, I brought that up to some people in South Africa, and they were like, a million views in 2 weeks? What?
Yeah.
That's actually a big deal.
It is indeed. But you got to also realize that we have such a large contingent outside the country.
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down.
And they contribute a lot to those numbers. But South Africa is a weird YouTube market, because the good videos are mainly in genres that aren't popular, and the popular genre videos are trash. Black Coffee has not released a good music video in my recent memory.
I enjoyed Drive, but that was a video made for a different target audience,
yeah,
different market altogether. That wasn't
even like on his channel. So like Any Other Way, for example, that video was terrible, but I love that song.
Hmm. Anyway, speaking of South Africa and music, we're going to move on to
the segue is trash, Dan. That was such a trash segue.
That was an amazing segue.
Ah, it was trash.
We're going to speak about a difficult topic. Oh, Black Coffee is looking right at me. Sorry, there's a CD.
Yes, I've got a very vast CD collection in this office.
So, man, this has been a rough week. And
2019 has just been one rough week after another.
Jeez, honestly. Anyway, so we're talking about the Babes Odumo and Mampincha story in South Africa. A quick overview of the story before we discuss it. I assume most people know it, but just to confirm the facts that we know for sure. This all started on Sunday evening. Babes Wodumo went on her Instagram live, and it appeared to show her boyfriend, Mampincha, assaulting her physically, very brutally. In the video, Mampincha can be seen hitting her, and she keeps on asking him, you know, why are you hitting me? Of course, this is not the first time. We remember, was it last year, 2 years ago?
It was last year.
When she
was ambushed by Masechaba.
She was ambushed on Metro FM and was basically said, we heard you're getting beaten, tell us. Which was a really rough time for her. You could actually totally see it, but she didn't deny it. Or she didn't forcefully deny it. And, it started the whole conversation, but it pushed along the whole conversation of, is Babes Wodomo being assaulted by Mampincha.
It was always confirmed because Mampincha released that weird apology when we were like, yeah, there's no way he wrote this.
He literally said,
Is this his recent apology or the old apology?
No, this is the old apology.
Mm.
In that old apology, he said, I called the station to say I want to set the record straight. Of course, we had our downs like any other couple, but it never got physical. There was no bleeding nose nor a broken leg. If there was, then where's the doctor's note? So.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
Anyway. Lots of people reacted, lots of celebrity reactions. Some people in public figures in SA reacted, basically condemning Mampincha. Then the news interviewed Babe's father, who basically showed, by the way, his name is not Mr. Wodumo. Okay. His name is not Mr. Wodumo. He's a Reverend Simelani, which is Babe Wodumo's surname. Yeah, they basically interviewed him, and this is what he said.
Well, she's stable, but I'm not all right because I saw my daughter crying, and Mandla is always beating my daughter. So Mandla is kicking my daughter. He is even now speaking to the media, lying and telling all South Africans that it's not true. It's a fake video, but I'm a father. I was there, and when my daughter was crying, she made sure that she opened a phone so that in case if she dies, I will know what happened. But I want this man to be arrested. And he always post and say a Westville police station won't help because he is bribing those police, and Mandla is using my daughter. I'm sorry to say this. It's just a story like Brenda Fassie. So I told him that don't use my daughter for your own gain, because with all these gigs and some of other things, including Black Panther, all that income, Mandla consume all that money. It's more than a few millions. Mandla is using my daughter in a very, very bad way. I want somebody to help me and investigate Mandla.
Then there were some images circulating on social media after this, which claimed that this was a campaign against domestic violence. I don't know who thought that was a brilliant idea, but...
I know exactly who would do that.
Who? Mampincha himself?
No.
But that's so dumb.
No, the thing is, right, and we've seen it work time and time again, especially in politics, create as much confusion and noise as possible to dilute the actual story. And as I'm sure you've noticed, there's three types of people on Twitter. They're those people that are there to learn, you know, and are open to listening and figuring stuff out.
Yeah, we are in the minority, really, yeah.
No, you know, we're the intellectuals. We're the paragons.
The paragons, indeed. The paragons of academia.
This is why people keep saying our podcast is too American and way too 20.
One person said that. Can you calm down? It's like, these guys, they just tower at Chirungi.
So there's those people. Then you have the individuals who think they're smart but really are dumb. And then you have the people that are straight up dumb and don't know they're dumb. And those are the worst. Those are the ones that flood our timelines day in, day out.
I would like to quote a philosopher at this point, a thought leader, Kiki Badass.
Ah, yes.
Who said, you know, foolish people think they're wise. Wise people know they are foolish, which basically means the wisest of us know that we can learn.
But
those of you who go in there without the opportunity or without giving yourself the opportunity to learn are actual fools.
Why haven't we interviewed Kiki Badass yet?
We should.
I had such a crush on her.
Okay, cool. Good to know. What were we talking about? No.
Yo, what's going on, dude? Why are you sweating?
No, because I like you badass, and I don't want to hear what you're going to say next because I noticed you used the past tense. Oh, speaking of which, I was with Stavo the other day. I was like, hey, man, we need to get you on the podcast. I was like, nah, you guys hate me. I was like, nah, dog, it ain't like that. Nah, you know, he's like, ah, nah. Anyway, so hopefully we'll have him soon. And you guys-
That's okay. I don't hate Stavo. I just called out a dumb move.
So who are you? Are you the police of dumb moves?
Of course. Anyway. Dude, when I do something dumb, trust, I get dragged.
Going back to this, Babes Wodum and Mampicha mm-hmm. story, I'm trying to lead to a particular point, so I don't want to dwell too much on this story, but, eventually, so this video came out on Sunday. On Tuesday, she pressed charges officially with the police. Mm-hmm. Dude got arrested, brief appearance in court during which he was wearing those moon boots.
But just putting the pressure on the wrong leg. Dumbass.
Idiot. And then, in the court, he countersued for assault, saying, no, she's the one who actually beat me. She has a problem with drinking, blah, blah, blah. I think that's pretty much the stage we're at now. So all this is trying to bring me to this point. And I realize that people often see this, but don't take it to heart. See, everyone, so many people kept asking the question, but what's, we want to hear his side of the story, or what did she do to deserve, or what did she do before this happened, or whatever.
Mm. See, the third category of people on Twitter?
Yeah.
There we go.
And I think we can safely say that, look, if you're asking that question, you're an idiot, and you're probably not supposed to be listening to this podcast. But for the sake of
annoying sure that, our few listeners left.
So we want to annoy the few listeners who clearly know things that everyone should know. Regardless of what she did, there's you can't ask what did she do to get hit. This reminds me of a Bill Burr skit, but now's not the time.
I know what you're talking about.
A Bill Burr skit where he essentially just acknowledges that, yo, man, men shouldn't hit women. But I'm just saying, why can't we ask questions? But that's a totally different conversation.
Terrible timing, Dan.
And he was speaking about a different situation. But overall, look, what she did is irrelevant. We can discuss that at another time. The issue right now is, it's like the story that I read. There was a story in the news recently about a truck driver that tried to dodge a toll gate, and he was shot dead.
Mm.
So, yo, once you've reached that level of shot dead, there's no longer discussion about the comparatively minor crime of dodging a toll gate.
$4. It was a $4 toll. And he's dead. He's lost his life for $4.
There's no point in even talking about that anymore. It's irrelevant. So you can't be like, well, I mean, before we ask why he got shot dead, we gotta say, I mean, like, what was he doing driving away from the toll gate? That's now irrelevant. So in a similar way, whatever she would have said or done before being assaulted is now irrelevant because of the assault. So don't ask that question. Firstly. Secondly, people who threaten to beat up Mampicha. I understand it's coming from a good place.
Did you see the Musi My Money memes? So yeah. Like, and he posted it, and then he posted a photo of him in the boxing ring.
Yeah.
And then someone put a caption, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
And then, as long as it wasn't a white person that posted.
And then my shlome, Mshwete on Twitter, there's a video of Mampicha in the gym, and he's bench pressing like 10 kgs, and he could only do 6 reps.
Anyway, so.
And his caption is like, yo, my money's on my.
So I understand the air quotes righteous anger that's coming from. But it's, you're actually causing more harm than good.
You wanna stop domestic violence with violence.
Just think it through. Think it through.
I mean, processes, guys.
But whatever, that's not really a big issue. The real issue I want to speak about was people who keep on saying she should leave. Why doesn't she leave? You know what I mean? What's wrong with her? Why has she been there so long? type of thing. And a lot of people then use that to justify that maybe they have an understanding or, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, I apologize to those of you who are intelligent thinkers and shouldn't even have to have this conversation. But I realize that many people still don't get it. Man, this is not a psychological assessment, psychiatry kind of podcast. We're not going to sit here and discuss all the psychological reasons why someone in an abusive relationship stays behind. Do yourself a favor and be the type of person who's open to learning and Google it. Like, why would someone in an abusive relationship stay in the relationship?
There's so many NGOs with articles and papers and documentation as to why it happens, support groups and why it's necessary. The information is there. It's free. Google is free.
All I'm saying is, before you respond with your vitriol that you feel is coming from a good place, just consider for a second that maybe what I'm saying is stupid and is hurting someone. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah, I think, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I just wanted to
bring that point. I just want to end it because, it depresses me quite a bit, especially seeing the reactions. Granted, we're in Zimbabwe, this has happened in South Africa, and we know South Africa is the rape capital of the world. So there's already culturally, like, there's just this violence towards women. And you can see in the reactions that people are having how it's indoctrinated into, like, even the smallest things. And there was actually a great thread. I need to pull it up. I'll retweet it on my timeline. But this guy broke down and he said, like, another issue that we have here is Mampincha is playing the PR game very well. And because Babes is still so young, and some might say inexperienced in the entertainment industry.
Impressionable.
And she probably doesn't have the financial resources that Mampincha has because he's probably taking all her money.
Mampincha is part of Big Nas, by the way, if you guys were wondering who is Mampincha.
And who runs West Inc. West Inc. basically owns Babes Wotumo's catalog. West Inc. is a subsidiary
of, with Tira, right?
Yeah. West Inc. is a subsidiary of Tira's label. So Tira's complicit as hell in all this, but that's neither. Anyway, I knew Mampincha was trash that time when Zimbabweans were getting killed in Durban and they refused to say anything about it.
I knew he was trash when I looked at Babes Wotumo's album and I saw featuring Mampincha on every single track.
Yo, and it was
like, bro,
dude will not let her go to the studio alone. Like, where are you going? Ah, studio. Me too. Let's go.
Fam. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, man. So basically, we can clearly see how Mampincha is trying to spin the narrative. And the way things are going, if people who have an understanding for public relations and people with media clout don't continue their support for Babes, I can see where this might end up. And it's concerning because it's another example of the system and society letting vulnerable people, especially women, especially black women, down again. So, yeah.
Anyway, sad topic. I hate to dwell on it. I just wanted to say those three things, which was essentially going backwards. Don't be the dumb person that
asks. Do you know what we need? Use your common sense!
That's exactly. Do you know what?
You put that clip in here.
I don't know if this is the right timing, but essentially, I would like to quote another trash human being.
Think! That's stupid! Use your common sense!
I'm fighting for my life! I'm
fighting for my life!
This is not me, y'all! I'm fighting for my life! Y'all killing me with this! I'm giving y'all 30 years of my career!
Robert.
30 years of my career! Y'all trying to kill me! You're killing me, man!
But those three things, just going backwards, and I'm saying those three things, don't be the dumb person that says, why is she staying? Don't be the dumb person that says, yeah, we're going to beat him up to fix him. And don't be the dumb person that wants to hear both sides, because once it's gone to assault, whatever the other thing was is irrelevant.
That's true. Onto a happier topic. Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
So if you haven't watched it yet.
I haven't. But I will.
There's no spoilers. Let me tell you what happens. Yo, leaving Neverland is a lot. It's a lot. So I was watching this documentary and then I realized one thing. Well, I realized two things. We really don't give a damn about men in this society.
Wow, Phil. Wow.
Like, I'm not even doing an outtake. I was just watching, like, seeing the reactions. Like, I really did have to interrogate, like, my personal reactions. Because, let me be fair. Dad, I grew up in a colored household. And as I'm sure people can attest, in a colored household.
Wow.
You have God at the top. And, like, in an org chart, you've got God at the top. Directly adjacent to God. Is Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Several layers below Michael Jackson are the matriarchs of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the men. So. You know my mom, Dan, right?
You know I do know your mom.
You know how conservative my mom is.
Remember, AKA Champson. You know, according to some people.
My mom was conservative. I remember there was a time I was hanging with my boys. And we all started straightening our hair. And like we'd curl it up.
Of course you did.
Of course. We were doing crazy things. And my mom hated it. She was like, why don't you keep your hair natural? And my response was, but Michael Jackson straightens his hair. And my mom's response was, you're not Michael Jackson.
That's a fair point.
But basically, Michael Jackson could do no wrong. I remember in 2003, every day after work, we would gather as a family and watch the E! Entertainment recap of the MJ trial. Every day.
And I shudder to think what the commentary was.
Well, like, even, but then I started asking myself, like, yo, but why is this grown man hanging with children like this? Like, this is a little weird. And then you don't want to dig too deep because you're young and you love Michael and you've been indoctrinated into the cult of Michael. So you just, you know, you just don't really examine it deeply. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even today, like even before the documentary came out, like as you become more woke and you more critical thinker, you're still like, yeah, Michael did some weird stuff. But yo, have you heard Dangerous though? That album goes. You know what I mean?
He made Thriller.
He made Thriller.
I see that.
So, anyway, for those of you who don't know, there's two accusers in the Leaving Neverland documentary. Wade Robson and James Safechild, I believe his name is. And they basically, for 4 hours, give harrowing details of how they met Michael Jackson and how he sexually abused them. The documentary, however, it's very one-sided. It gives these individuals' accounts and their accounts only. There's no counter narrative. So
from his hologram?
Well, from anyone. So I literally, as I was watching this thing, I really had to interrogate my feelings and be like, yo, if I'm really off the belief or off the stance that we should believe abuse victims first and foremost, then I've got to be consistent with that. You know what I mean? Because I'm just, like, it's a lot easier for me to believe a woman telling me she got sexually abused than for me to believe a man. And I think that's just society, you know what I mean? So that took some interrogation on my part. And to divorce my deep indoctrinated love for Michael Jackson and be like, yo, if he did this, okay, I can't celebrate his music anymore. So, and Dan, you know this, like I was watching this and I was trying to talk to Dan about it. It took me a while to really like work through my feelings. Like, yo, this is intense. This is deep. And then
Phil was caping for Michael. That's what he was doing.
I'm telling you, why you got to throw me under the bus like that, dog? Why you got to throw me under the bus?
This is essentially what you're saying.
I wasn't caping for him. I was just like, yo, Michael, why did you do this now, Michael? Why? So
you see, I haven't watched it yet. Mm-hmm. So I can't give my opinions yet. So I'll let you know when I do.
So, but what I do want to get to is, so obviously like while I'm reading this stuff now, I'm going through, the accusations and I'm trying to find like, okay, these guys are saying this stuff happened. Surely they have to be corroborating witnesses. You know what I mean? Surely there have to be articles. So I'm just researching almost everything so that I can really be informed about it. And then I come across, some posts by a journalist called Charles Thompson. Charles Thompson is an award-winning British, investigative journalist.
It's the most British name I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm. And it's spelled very British. There's no P in Thompson, which is really British. But basically he speaks about how these two accusers have been trying to sue Michael Jackson, have been trying to sue the Michael Jackson estate for 6 years for hundreds of millions of dollars. And through their depositions and their witness statements, their story has changed substantially, over the years. I don't want to delve too deep because it's going to look like I'm trying to, you know, defend. But at this point in time, right? So like I watched the documentaries, I was like, yo, Michael was foul. Then I'm started doing the research and then I'm reading about it and I'm like, wait.
Not something's not adding up.
It's not, it's also like, there's certain things like, for example, so like, if you get really deep down the rabbit hole, there's actual like websites dedicated to disproving them and there's literally hundred page reports. I think they might have been put together by a legal team, but they run by like Michael Jackson fans that have quotes from depositions, scanned documents from email, from court proceedings. It's intense. It's deep. And they basically like, there's a lot of inconsistencies here. So I think that there's some inconsistencies that I think it's unfair to judge someone on. So for example, if someone's a child and they say this didn't happen, and then when they become older, like, yo, it did actually happen, that's unfair to accuse someone of. Or for like just inconsequential stuff regarding the circumstances surrounding their motivations and so forth, that's unfair to judge. And that's a lot of what of that is based. But this factual stuff where like Wade Robson changed the account of how he first got molested four times in court proceedings. And in one encounter, it was actually so inconsistent, the judge threw it out. I was like, yo, this doesn't make any sense. Or there's evidence where they deposed, is that the word? Where basically the court took possession of Wade Robson's emails and his diary. And in the diary, he makes mention of the fact that he's going to now look for the money. So it's almost like he's intimating that he's going after Mike. And it might be.
Maybe it's because, like you said, there was this reverence put on Michael Jackson that you're referring to. But this is how simple it is for me, man. I'm not out to look to see, like, yo, was this person lying? Was that person lying? I'm simply waiting for whether it's the courts, whether it's whoever it is to come out with facts. And then I'll be like, yo, Michael Jackson was trash. Or, yo, Michael Jackson wasn't trash.
So this is what I'm doing. Like
you're actively looking,
but I'm a skeptic and a pessimist at heart. So like, I don't take anything given to me at face value. So whenever something's given to me, I start asking questions. I'm like, okay, let me answer them myself.
Which is fine. But this is what I'm saying is at this point, you're like, I don't know if I believe that. Let me go and find out.
No, it's not me saying I don't know if I believe that. It's like, let me make sure, because another thing is I really am concerned with right now where, and this isn't anything to do with Mike, it's just in general, where everyone's so trigger happy to cancel people. And we don't even really understand what does canceling mean? What does it affect? So if we are to indeed cancel someone, let's make sure that it's done with some form of due diligence. So with R. Kelly, for example, R. Kelly, the evidence is insurmountable in my eyes. Like, there's so much evidence built over.
He's fighting for his life!
Built over 3 decades where I'm like, I don't even need for him to be found guilty for these sets of crimes for me to know that he's trash. So that's easy for me to do. With Mike, I first of all gotta take a moment to separate myself from that majestic aura of Mike. And that's another thing, like, it's hard for me to even blame the parents in all this because I never even met Mike. And he's, in my eyes, he's like a god. Like, can you imagine, like, how would you behave if Michael Jackson was like, yo, come to my house? I'm not lying. I would have been bunking with him.
At the time. I mean, if you ask me now, I'd be like, yo.
As a 30-year-old man, yeah. If Michael Jackson invited me to Neverland, Nazi is just this soul. Ha! My PJs are on. Because it's Mike. You know what I mean?
It's Mike.
This reminds me of a Dave Chappelle skit. I'm sorry.
What if I have cancer?
Anyway, all right, let's move on from these depressing topics. So, I will have feedback when I watch the documentary.
So I think, yeah, I'm just, so like you just showed me that radio stations are already canceling him. And that's my, like, if Mike is guilty and these, both of these individuals are actually in court right now trying to prove that they were abused. If they were actually abused, and it's proven that they were abused, or they are able to corroborate that in some form or fashion. Because also, I think it's also unfair to place the burden of proof on the victim. You know what I mean? But surely we should have some form of checks and balances in place. And I don't feel finding Leaving Neverland is that. For example, surviving R. Kelly, you had parties from both sides of the aisle. You had insurmountable evidence. So like, yo, this guy's trash. On this, you literally have two individuals who are just
making claims.
Who are not
corroborated, essentially.
They're not corroborated. There's no opposing views. They don't even have people supporting them in any form of fashion. So it's like, for you to just watch that.
But that's a slippery slope. It's like you said earlier, how many times have we heard a woman accuse a man that, yo, this person raped me?
Mm-hmm.
The moment we start saying, yo, but all we got right now is just an uncorroborated, you know, claim from someone, it's a slippery slope. No.
What I'm saying is, especially with this documentary, is they're in court right now. So so we don't need to rely on the quote unquote court of public opinion. It is in court. There's testimony. These guys are proving it in court.
And the other thing is, he's dead.
So let's investigate. So like, outside of the interviews, right, we have a litany of evidence that they themselves have presented to the courts. How come no one is examining that and saying, okay, cool, you said all this in the documentary. Let's operate on the premise that we believe you. Cool. You've now presented all this other evidence to corroborate your story, to justify why you're suing for hundreds of millions of dollars. Let's have a look at that and see how it stacks up. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Wait. I'm going to watch the documentary.
What I did realize, and this actually wants me to get back to writing again, is I've realized that, especially in this decade, we're now seeing the power of celebrity being interrogated. Like in the last few decades, we've seen, like, especially in popular culture, celebrities become deities. And their actions have never been questioned.
Not in Zim. Barely in Africa.
But in the developed world, especially where there's mass media, you've got Elvis Presley, who married a 13-year-old, thrown under the rug. Jerry Lee Lewis married a teenager, kept under covers. You know what I mean? And it was all because people basically valued the music and how it made them feel more than they valued the victim's humanity. And it gave, like, as people became more popular and media became more expansive, and you saw celebs becoming more powerful. And Mike is probably the biggest example of that we'll probably ever see. Like, Mike could do no wrong. Mike did a lot wrong. Like, Mike's nose changed 75 times. He had kids over all the time. He was doing weird stuff with animals. You know what I mean? Not sexually, but I mean, it was just like, he was just a
baby.
He was a peculiar individual. Like, even as a fan, you gotta admit, Mike was weird. But we let all that slide because he was Mike. You know what I mean? But in today's world, if any superstar, imagine right now, if The Weeknd started having sleepovers with teenagers at his house.
Yeah, The Weeknd is not, it's not the same. Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you divorce Mike from situation and you just tell someone who just landed, someone who's been in a coma for 30 years, and like, listen, there's a 30-year-old man. He tours the world, but he always tours the world with a teenage boy or a preteen boy. And then he invites them over to his house and they have sleepovers throughout the year. What do you think? You know what I mean? And I think that's what we're doing now with R. Kelly, with Michael Jackson, with anyone. Celebrities now being interrogated. There's a good article by Craig Jenkinson where he's like, we gave Michael too much power and we can never do that again. And it's true. Mike could do no wrong. So, yeah. Absolute power.
I'm going to watch it and I'll give you my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
But and of course, those of y'all who get to watch it as well, you can hit us up. I think we can wrap up.
No, we got mailbag. So, we got to give a shout out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I wanted to wrap up with shout outs.
Put a bow on it.
Just put a bow on these shout outs.
That's right.
I'm going to start off with a couple of shout outs for people who've gotten in touch with us. Shout out to at the NCMMM. On Twitter, Shasha Majozi, we see you.
Hey.
Shout out to Le Vitruvio. You'll get your tickets now.
Yeah, he was grilling me in the DM today, man. It was so rude. Jeez, what are you guys?
Not rude. You promised him tickets, so he must give him his tickets.
Oh my God.
Anyway, you're getting your tickets. Shout out to at Humphrey KBD. Want to give a couple more shout outs as well.
Who's that? This is called Humphrey. We have listeners called Humphrey.
Humphrey, yes.
How old is he?
I bet he knows what Paragon means.
like when you're named Humphrey, you're never a child. You just come out of the womb and you're 25. Like you're come out. You're already an accountant. You're studying for your CA. You've got a pocket protector and like three colored pens in your pocket.
Shout out to at Tapio Demo.
Demo, he sent us money, man. Yo, Tapio, please send us more money.
Shout out at Shushu Shasha.
What?
I'm just shouting out people like who hit us up. This one, yeah.
What?
Shishu Shasha.
Hey, we're in China, fam.
We're international, fam.
We're in China, fam.
Shout out to at Odyssey. Yeah, shout out to you, my man.
Hey, remember the TV show Odyssey?
I do.
That was such a trash show. Like, it took us on the ride.
But I mean, it was a little like it got you thinking, yo.
The doctor said I was in a coma. Maybe I was, but there is a world beyond consciousness that they knew nothing about. But when I came back, nothing was quite the same. And I couldn't leave that other world behind. My odyssey continues.
And then at the end, the dude just wakes up.
And it was a dream.
It was all a dream.
Shout out to Mumanzi. Mumanzi is always supporting us every week. Shout out to you, my man. Shout out to King Kandoro. Congratulations on your 1 year anniversary, man.
Yeah, to Anisi Michael.
No, man, we'll just step it in.
No, we gotta get live.
Hey,
welcome back to Two Broke Trumbles Radio. Right now, we got a special shout out from Danny That Guy, going out to Anisia Michael. We know you're enjoying 1 year with a special young man, but Dan wants to let you know there's a little something more special waiting for you on the horizon. Pass that message along. He's got a song about Mario.
He actually gets touched about these kind of things. You think it's a joke?
Let me love you. Anisha's got to you.
If I was your man, baby, you never worry about what I do. I'd be coming home back to you. Makeup tutorials every night. You're the type of woman
that find weeds, girl.
I'm gonna get clapped. Anyway, shout out to everybody who's been listening. Shout out to all y'all for your support.
Yeah,
we could do a whole mailbag thing, I think. And we won't make fun of your mail like we did Mr. Scammer over here.
No, there's actually a real question, though. So someone hit me up and he was like, yo, Phil. Oh, and Dan, obviously. I wanted to ask a question about Spotify and Apple Music playlist. What's the best way to get on them and get my music featured? Right, that's a great question, Bob. So first thing you want to know, obviously first thing you need to have a distributor, who's placing your music on these platforms.
Speak to me about that.
Actually, speak to me. I've got the contract. I've got the contract.
No, but you see, this is very dumb. Why are you just asking someone who, are you going to sign every single person? Anyway.
No, I'll vet. Like the guys worth signing, I'll sign. But anyway. I'm getting back in the music game. So yes, the first thing first, get a distributor, get a decent deal. I'm going to be working on a series of workshops. I just secured a venue. So throughout this year, Dan and I are diverging. He's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing, but I'm doing the same thing. It's very clever. We are both educating artists, but differently, but we are the same. Anyway, so that's the first thing you want to do. And then after that, you need to just start building your audience. So get as many people you can listening to your music so that your artist numbers are dope. And make sure you have at least a project on your artist page. For Spotify, for artists, for example, head to there, upload your artist thumbnail and your artist banner so that your artist page looks good and you update your bio and then have it linking back to something. And then after you've done the hard work, you then want to start pitching to playlist creators and editors. So the easiest thing to do is find people who don't necessarily work for Apple or Spotify that make their own playlist that people follow and be like, hey, this is my song. I think it'll work for your playlist. Obviously, make sure that your playlist, your song fits the playlist style that they have, and they try to get it placed there. And then once you've done that and your numbers are growing, then you can start hitting up what they call playlist editors. If you do some sleuthing on social media, you may be able to find these people. So they'll be like, Apple has an African music editor. Or
a new one?
Mm-hmm. Or you can hit up blogs like OK Africa who have their own curated playlists. And that's a good way to get yourself through the door because they're always looking for new and upcoming artists.
If you've got disposable income, you can also look for pluggers who already have existing relationships with, not only radio stations, but the playlist creators and editors. And essentially, you're just like, hey, bro. Listen to my music. If they like it, if they feel that they can put their weight behind it, then you pay them to plug it to the various playlist editors.
Definitely, that's something you can do. But especially if you're an up-and-coming artist and you haven't been featured on a playlist yet, I wouldn't advise that because you're wasting money. And you always want to try build as many relationships you can with these individuals one-to-one. Because if you're reliant on a plugger and basically the plugger becomes the gatekeeper to your career – you're putting your career in someone else's hands. So I think,
but you see, you describe it like it's simple. Man, there's so many artists. Okay. First of all, if you're unsure what we're talking about, cause it's getting very nerdy. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what are they talking about? Okay. If you're on Spotify or Apple Music, chances are you subscribe to a playlist and it could be a playlist like, you know, weekend music, African hip hop, you know, and the popular playlists, the songs on there are the ones that get the most plays. In fact, recent figures I saw, show that by far the majority, way more than 50% of an artist's plays will come from playlists as opposed to collections, which is that someone has the song on their phone or they have the song on their device. It comes because they have the playlist on their device and that playlist gets regularly updated. So if you're an artist, one of the best ways for you to get a lot of plays and therefore a lot of revenue is to have your song on a playlist. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about in case there's... You see, you're taking this for granted. We're not talking only industry people here, Phil. Mm-hmm, we're also talking to people who are just this thing like, what is this plugging in playlists and what are you talking about?
Yeah. So even if you are just a super fan, you know, and you've come across a song that you like and you want to get it out there, you can do the same thing
For example, I already saw Shingai's song is on a lot of Apple's playlists, eh? The Coming Home song that we featured last week.
Yeah, that's all because of us. And not because she's working with probably the most powerful black woman in the UK music industry.
But it was clearly us.
Yeah, it was us.
Oh God. Why do we kiss the producer's ass so much? Like we really need to stop.
Anyway. Cool. Do you have any more tips, Phil? Or?
No, yes.
I'm just saying you make it seem easy. Like, yo, if you just do all the work and you whatever, then you get it. It's not easy. If
it's
you do all
work.
The work, you could still, even if your song is really dope, you could still not feature on a playlist. I'm saying if everything else is I mean, if you can, if everything else is done and everything else is, you know, correct, i.e. your song is good, your PR is good, your artwork, everything, you've sorted everything out. And you know, you're creating your fan base and whatever. There is a benefit to getting pluggers, and maybe it may not necessarily be official pluggers. Sometimes it's also, like you said, there's people who exist who are not official playlist editors, but they just create playlists that have a lot of followers.
So yeah. And we're in Africa, so don't forget the power of traditional media. There is still a lot of power with getting on radio, getting radio interviews, getting on TV and so forth, because that's where the, not only like the listenership is, but the quote unquote gatekeepers are always looking out for stuff like that. So that's always a good strategy. So once again, it's all about doing the basics. Like if you are doing the basics right, your EPK, your electronic press kits are on point. You've got your artist artwork. You've got some form of an artist website. Your social media pages are linking to your work, stuff like that. And you're sending out press releases and you've got a mailing list. If you're doing the basics, you're just making your life easier. And this is what we'll be discussing in our upcoming workshops, which are separate, but together.
All right, cool. I think that's pretty much it.
Indeed it is.
I would like to end the show in a song that is just, it's an
earworm. But also, I've got this song as well. Maybe we'll play both.
Oh yeah, cool. We can play both. It's fine. But
yeah, Dan has been playing the song for 3 days. It's
been 3 days. It has been 1 day. Today. It's so flames, bro. Well, at least the chorus is.
Name me one John Chibadura song. One.
Diwere mudiwa jeneti. Diwere usande daro. Do you want me to name another one?
Okay, shut up.
Zuare kufa kwangu. Those are my two favorite John Chibadura songs.
I love Dimbetes, the Temba Brothers.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to end the show. It's an earworm. I heard it and it just got stuck in my head, man. And the funny thing is everyone that listens to it is like, yo, what is that? John Chibadura. Johnny Chibadura. Tune.
Cool. Cool. Hey, when are you catching up on Game of Thrones? Because I've got this rant that's ready to go.
I'm on season 2.
Yeah. Do you see the trailer?
I did. I did. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to unpack, but you have to wait, Phil. You have to wait.
I don't know, like, Daniel and Dave are not giving me confidence.
No, I feel.
Do you know the weird thing is, like, so I've
we're been not going to talk about
no,
wait, this.
No, we're not talking about that. I'm just talking about, I've been going down a rabbit hole of George R. R. Martin interviews and how his tone has shifted from like the early seasons to like season 6 and 7. He was trying to distance himself from the show.
Yeah, he's been really adamant that the books on the show are different.
And he's been really pissed because he's always been of the thing that he hates fan fiction.
Yeah.
And the TV shows have become fan fiction. And he hates what,
but he
doesn't really, okay, hate is a strong word, but he does not like what the TV show has done recently.
At least up to season maybe 4 or 5, he was fully hands-on on that TV show.
Yeah. And then I think the quintessential thing about season 7 of Game of Thrones, which, spoiler alert, I believe is the worst season of that show, is if you go to the behind the scenes, there's a scene where Daniel and Dave are like, for 7 seasons we've been crying for a zombie polar bear and finally we got it. And then I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, so the only reason you guys put this in is because you wanted a toy to play with. Like, it has nothing to do with the narrative.
No, but that's cool.
It doesn't move the story.
No, think about it, man. That's cool.
But that's the problem. Season 7 is just full of Phil, things that are cool.
If you want
Deuce Ex Machina.
Wait for the next, don't call it Deuce, by the way. Deus Ex Machina. It's from Latin.
Going it's also a game. GSX. Good game.
And Deus. And
Makina is was a anime.
Okay, we're getting out of here. We've already spoken for too long. I'm hungry.
What are you saying?
I was saying, you see, the TV show is not meant for the nerds. It's meant for the mainstream.
No, wait. The first season were finish, for the nerds.
Let me finish. Yes, because the first season when it came out, I bet they didn't even think that it would get this mainstream. They probably thought it would be like Vikings, you know, really popular, but not the biggest show.
The writing on Vikings can't come close to this.
Of course. But so
I tried watching Vikings.
It stayed very close to the original story. By season by season three,
mm-hmm.
they realized like, yo, this is, we gotta start catering to a different audience.
No! And the reason they love you is the reason they'll stay. Why change it? Do you know what killed me about this last season, Dan? And I've gotta say it now. The two smartest characters on Game of Thrones were Varys and Littlefinger. Littlefinger got outsmarted by the dumbest family in the show.
I'm refusing to speak about it until you can't defend it. Anyway.
Littlefinger should have just said trial by combat. Trial by combat.
And then what?
Trial by combat.
Okay.
Then he hits up Cersei. He chooses bring me the mountain.
For someone who didn't want to do this show, to do this podcast this whole week, it now just becomes so chatty, eh?
Dan, you need to understand, mental illness is a disease. Okay, I'm doing my best.
Okay. You're doing too much!
I've just explained in detail how this Michael Jackson thing affected me mentally. I was down.
That was great, but we are not talking about Game of Thrones until I'm done.
Anyway.
Also, I don't watch it. It's too violent. I'm sorry. Ew. I can't watch such things. Ugh.
Okay, I think they stopped listening now. It's right. Oh, by the way.
No, Phil,
send
no.
us show recommendations. What shows should I be watching? I tried watching Westworld.
We're not going to do that, Phil.
I haven't gone past episode 2.
Oh, Westworld is amazing. Have you not watched Westworld?
No.
You've never watched Westworld?
Dude, you don't know. I don't watch TV. I don't watch that much TV.
Phil. Season 1 of Westworld is definitely top 5 of all time TV shows. And I know you're right now you're saying, man, I watched the first couple, but I don't know what's up.
No, I watched one episode. It was alright.
You watched one episode. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
It's got so many twists and like, you know how I consider you a relatively smart man, Phil.
Wow, Dan. You know, I praise.
I'm sure oftentimes you watch something and you can already tell what's going to happen next.
That's why I don't watch TV, because it's so predictable.
Westworld will leave you like, what? Watch Westworld.
Okay, cool.
Watch Westworld. Okay. I don't watch it because it's very,
very violent.
Graphic and violent, and there's just too much nudity. I can't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sit well with my conscience.
They stop watching. They stop listening a long time. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, we're getting out of here. We're signing out with, Phil wants to sign out with a song as well.
From TK Chids and the Simba Tags, Mona Lisa.
TK Chids, Simba Tags, Mona Lisa. I'm going to sign out with, John Chibadura.
His name is Tatooine.
Tanto Wavy sang a song, an ode to John Chibadura.
It an ode or was it just a diss?
Wait, well, it wasn't a diss. He was just saying, man, back in my day, we used to listen to John. Before Quavo.
But how old is he? There's no way. How old is he?
On that note, we out. We broke. We broke. Bro. Chibadura. Chibadura. Vendetta. Tony Chibadura. Tanto Wavy. Kusati kwana Quavo. Panga kuhi na Johnny. Johnny Chibadura, take a cool at Chichera, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Chibadura, Johnny 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 Chibadura, Chibadura, John. Kagaya makare kare, panga kuine mabasi, Kairo baba marage, kushika tashika muzanzi. Johnny Chibadura, koma izi aidambura. Johnny Chibadura, baga wandava ikaura. Afro ne mabimbo, tichiswera tipa joina, funza isuta iveko. Johnny Chibadura, legendary. Oh yeah 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 yeah. Take a cool at Digitale, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Johnny Chibadura, Chibadura, Johnny.
On the beat.